Welcome to the Coin Podcast Network. Emotional, creative, and often comical. Welcome to another in-depth but out-of-the-ordinary look at what it's like to write. This is Writer's Block with Coin6 News anchor Jenny Hansen.
So on this week's Writer's Block, we have Nicholas, Nikki, and Divine. I'm saying all your names there. A local children's book author. And I know you're living in Beaverton right now. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and you have many names there. So ND is your pen name, ND Bine, but then your real name is Nicholas, but it sounds like your friends call you Nikki.
Yeah, I've gone by Nikki since I was a kid, but ND Bine has always been my pen name since I started writing books.
Awesome. Okay, well, so did you grow up in Beaverton, or are you originally from Oregon?
No, I'm not actually. I moved here about a decade ago. I grew up in Northwest Washington, about a stone's throw from Canada, a little tiny town called Linden. Nobody's heard of it, so I'm never offended when no one knows what I'm talking about.
I don't know that I've heard. I'm a Husky, but I've heard of Blaine, Washington. I don't know about Linden, though. Is it in that same general area?
Yeah, it's just a little bit east of Blaine, about as close to the border as Blaine.
Okay, that's a beautiful area. So growing up, did you always know that you wanted to write, or was that something that just seemed out of reach?
You know, I loved writing. I love telling stories and making things up. But I at no point in my life until about 6 years ago did I ever think I was actually going to write books. It just wasn't something that I had really thought about, but I've always been really creative. I've played music since I was a kid. I actually moved to Oregon about 10 years ago, exactly 10 years ago now, to go to culinary school. So I like making things, and I stumbled into it. That's the best way I can put it.
Yeah. So wait, you went to culinary school. So do you have like a day job as a chef or something like that?
You would think the answer to that would be yes, but no, actually, I left the industry after my son was born. So I currently work for the Red Cross, but I cook every day, breakfast and dinner every day for my family. And I love cooking. It's still where my heart's at, just the industry. Fortunately, I got out of the industry before everything kind of fell apart.
So. Oh my gosh, I know. It's been so rough lately, for sure, for all of our restaurants around here. And I'm sure your wife or significant other probably loves that you cook too. My husband is the same. So I appreciate a man who can cook, because I sure can't.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, my wife and my kids, so far, they enjoy everything I've cooked for them.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good. And so you work for the Red Cross. And then when did you decide that you wanted to give this whole writing thing a go?
You know, I wanted to try one book back in the day after my son was born. He was about almost two, I think. I wanted to write one book just to say I did, because I'm big about trying something just to say I tried, you know, to show my son that, you know, if I can try and fail, there's nothing he can't try at and succeed. So I wanted to, you know, take a swing at it, and a book idea came to mind for King Boogie. It's essentially just a take on parenting and just how the kids see themselves as grown-ups, and their stuffed animals are alive, and you know, the parents are the hired help, just, you know, chasing them around the room all day.
And sounds about so, right.
Yeah, right. So I figured parents would resonate with that one, and they did. And so I did a small batch of that, made that book, and it sold out way faster than I thought it would. And it was one of those, you know, those moments in life where you just find yourself in a situation that it can't be chance. And after that book was published, I was actually working at a restaurant, and there was a, you know, server that wanted to buy one of the copies of the book behind, you know, so I had a copy behind the bar, and a gentleman would always come by at the end of the night when we were closing, and he would always order, you know, breakfast for dinner, the sweetest guy, an older gentleman. And he saw the book behind the bar this one particular night, and he asked if he could read it. And I said, sure, you know, go for it. It's all yours. So he read it, and he said, you know, he really enjoyed it, and he was really encouraging. And he, you know, went on to, you know, tell me a bit about himself. And he said, you know, actually, I illustrate books too. I'm like, that's great. Very cool. And he said, you know, currently they'd sold, you know, in the millions. And I was like, that's insane. And his name is John. He was actually the illustrator for Bob Books. I don't know if you're familiar with Bob.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. I have kids, so I am, yeah. Yes.
So I found myself across the bar from him as he's, you know, having his breakfast for dinner. And he's, you know, encouraging me, and he's telling me, like, you know, no matter what, don't stop. You know, if you have more ideas, take it and run. So that's essentially what I did. I told him the idea I had for my second book, which I was really wishy-washy about if I wanted to make a second book. But, you know, I went with it after that experience. And, you know, that was 7 books ago now. So.
Wow. And so you said that your first one that you made up a small batch and they sold out. Were you self-publishing or are you self-publishing? How did that all work?
Yeah, I took the hard road.
Yeah.
You know, but it's been awesome. I self-publish everything, you know. I just do, you know, larger and larger batches as, you know, the books start to move faster and faster. But everything I have, I self-publish. I work with as many local illustrators as I can. Numerous of the people I've worked with aren't even professional. I just find very talented people mm-hmm. that, you know, just to have the skill and we work together and make a book. But yeah, so self-published. And it's been fun. I do a lot of markets and word of mouth. Oddly enough, I get orders from, you know, Cyprus and London and all these places around the world. And I'm not advertising really. I'm just people hear about the book somehow. So
that's awesome. I mean, it does seem like we're kind of we're built more for that now. I mean, you can put stuff on social media, you know, or whatever, mm-hmm. all yourself, and you can sell everything online. So I think that there used to be like a stigma that surrounded self-publishing that it seems like it's been going away slowly but surely. Right? Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think you're spot on. There's the beauty of self-publishing is everyone can publish. And I mean, that's the good part and the bad part. Mm-hmm. So now, you know, everyone can create something. And the one thing I found, it always makes me laugh. The one thing I found is, you know, as I introduce myself to people as a self-published author, when they read the books, oftentimes they're genuinely surprised. And I don't mm-hmm. think they mean it to be offensive, but they're like, wow, this book is actually really good.
Right.
Like, well, thank you.
I think, cool.
I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think it is changing for sure. So how do you, are these like characters that have always been floating around in your head? Because I know writers a lot of times, you know, have these stories that are bouncing around in their brains all the time. I mean, how do you come up with some of these stories?
On the fly, honestly, oftentimes I'm sitting there thinking about it, like what's a book that I would want to read? What's a lesson mm-hmm. that I wish I would have learned as a kid? That's one of my biggest, motivators for writing is I put something positive in everything I write. I love the idea of kids' books being able to be written on multiple levels. There's something in there for the kids. It's like a goofy, lighthearted story, but there's life in there too for the adults. That because I don't think anyone ages out of needing to hear that they're special, they're important. That, you know, it's okay to be going through what they're going through, fear and self doubt and loss, whatever they're experiencing. That's what I use these books for. I try to write for the kids and the grownups, mm-hmm. and I think I've seen adults impacted far more than the kids with some of these books, just because that's what I aim for. I think it's such a cool medium, to put something heavy in there for grownups, but something light and fun for kids.
Yeah. So. Well, and it seems like, because I noticed that you mentioned on your website that you can find them, you know, in schools and libraries and in churches. So it seems like it's a message that's kind of been universally, you don't have anything offensive in these books or anything edgy, it sounds like.
No, I have the one thing I haven't been called so far is edgy.
Edgy.
And I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. That maybe that's your next life or something. Yeah, right. as an author. The superhero book, I watched was it a video, like a trailer for that? Or I don't know if a trailer is the right term, a teaser. Mm-hmm. So what is the concept behind that one?
Yeah, that one is about just playing pretend with your kids. It's a family on a regular night. And, you know, the son's playing in his room. The daughter's playing in the living room. Dad's in his office. Mom's making dinner. And just a standard night. And then the son comes to the dad and he says, you know, hey, do you want to play superheroes with me? And it starts with 15 minutes before dinner. And the dad's like, I don't have time. I'm really sorry. But then as the kid's leaving, the dad stops and says, like, wait. And he turns into this giant superhero villain, you know, in imagination. And the son looks at him and powers up and turns into this big superhero as well. And they have this giant battle. And, you know, it ends with the son stopping and saying, I got to go potty. That's how the first
that's how it always ends. Yeah.
Yes. At least he caught it before he made a mess. Right. But, yeah, so then it just goes. And then the daughter and the mom have a big, you know, adventure as well, saving the day from a captured unicorn that the girl is imagining in her kind of, you know, pretend time. Mm-hmm. And then they all kind of come together and have a big boys versus girls battle as these superheroes, all before the dinner bell rings and it's time to power down and have dinner.
Wow. And so when you're thinking up these stories like this, I'm sure you have an idea in your head of how the characters look. And I've always wondered this about people that have illustrated books. So I mean, is it hard to match up with someone who knows, you know, what you're looking for?
Yeah. I mean, I put a call out for illustrators. I sketch them all out. I can see it in my head, but I can't draw.
Like, yeah.
I sketch them out, but man, nobody would buy a book I drew. So I have to, you know, work with different illustrators, and I find someone whose style kind of fits what I'm looking for. But I also want to make sure that the illustrator feels like they've contributed their own vision to the book to a point as well. So I leave it vague so they can kind of take it and make it their own. I want it to be a kind of a cooperative project. So that's kind of what we do. And then, you know, lots of back and forth and notes and edits and, you know, it works out great. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. How long does that process usually take from you writing it to the illustrating to actually publishing it?
Writing it doesn't take me too long. Mm-hmm. I can usually have a book written, you know, a couple drafts in within a week or two. And from that point, I, you know, find an illustrator, and they usually take a couple months, 2-3 months. So a book from start to books delivered on my doorstep, I'd give it probably about 7 months.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And so then, what's up next as far as, your books, is there more to the superhero series, or what can we expect?
You know, I've thought about that. When I wrote the superhero book, 5 Minute Superheroes, I also wrote an alphabet book at the same time, which has gone really, really well. I wanted an alphabet book with substance. So it's called My Favorite Is You. And it's essentially, you know, an opportunity for the reader to tell the little one they're reading to, you know, I love you. And there's themes on every page. I wanted to have, you know, something to it for an alphabet book. And that one's gone really well. So I'm thinking of another board book. I actually have a book with a sports team that's going to be coming out here, hopefully in the next year. Kind of everything got sidelined.
Yeah.
But so there's that coming out, and I'm working on a chapter book.
Oh,
so
nice.
I'm staying busy. I have about, you know, 7 or 8 different ideas in queue.
Yes.
So I'll just keep on writing and until nobody wants the books anymore.
Oh, I'm sure they always will. How old are your kids?
Yeah. My son, he's 9, and my daughter is 16 months.
Oh, wow. Okay. So she's probably not quite like reading all of these, like you're reading them to her probably.
But yes.
Yeah. Do you find that as your son is getting older, like, is that why you want to write a chapter book so he can, like, do you find yourself kind of following their timeline a little bit?
I do. Yeah. I read at schools all over the place. And my son's school is always, you know, he's always excited to have me come out and read to his class. So I have to keep up with them. You know, they're growing so fast. And I'm trying to write stuff that's going to keep them entertained, you know?
Yeah. Has writing during the pandemic been easier for you, or is it harder to focus with everyone home and...
Oh, it's a bear.
Yeah. It seems like every author I've talked to has said that.
Yeah. I envy the people that, you know, I have some friends that don't have kids.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, I have so much free time. I'm like, wow.
Wow.
I don't, you know, but it's all right. I wouldn't trade it for the world, having them home with me. I know that hopefully, you know, this is an opportunity that's going to come once in a lifetime. Having this much, you know, forced time together has been wonderful.
Yeah, it is. It is forced, but it can be wonderful. Yeah. And you're probably getting some, you know, maybe some story inspiration out of some of the experiences, right?
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. It's, you know, I think of stuff for the grownups as much for the kids. You know, I have books about, you know, Raleigh, the Silent Slugs, about the fear of stepping out. And, you know, I was in that was inspired by me trying to write books of just the fear of putting something out in public and how it would be accepted. And I painted that one as, you know, just putting yourself out there. And in the end, it doesn't matter how anybody thinks of you, as long as you're proud of yourself and what you've achieved. You know, the other people's opinions don't really matter. So yeah, everything that I'm going through, you know, the fear for the future, it all turns into ideas, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think those are good lessons for sure for all ages. So where can people find your books? Are they on like Amazon, or where are some good places they can check them out?
For sure. My books are available on Amazon, all except the two newest ones. And every single book, as well as some comic series that I did, are available on ndbaima.com. Mm-hmm. And you can check out my Instagram. It's just @ndbaima. Facebook, if you're out in the Hillsborough area, I try to work the farmers markets. I love doing that because I get to meet people. And, you know, the books really move quickly when people actually get them in their hands and get to read them. So I'm doing that every couple weeks in the Hillsborough farmers markets and just anywhere where the books can do something good.
Yeah, awesome. Well, ND Baima, Nikki, Nicholas, thank you so much for taking time to chat with us about your books. They sound definitely, especially for parents right now, a good thing to check out as, you know, we have all this time, this downtime.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you for listening to the Coin Podcast Network. You can listen to more great Coin podcasts on coin.com/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Please listen, download, subscribe, and review.
Hey, everybody. Executive producer Ian Costello here, coming to you from the Work From Home Coin Podcast Studios. When we started our podcasts back in February of 2019, we had no idea that we would end up here. Now, a year and a half later, tens of thousands of you are listening to hundreds of our podcasts, and we need to make some changes to grow even further. That's why, starting this week, you can find all of the Coin Podcasts in one place. The brand new Coin Podcast Network. From Beaver Smack to Writer's Block. From your weather to our constant coverage of the coronavirus pandemic and the protests in Portland. It is all available in one place. So, to keep hearing the podcasts you already love and to discover more of our exclusive audio content, head to coin.com/podcasts or search Coin, that's KOIN, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, or Podbean. Thank you for listening.